It's my great privilege to be with you again. I just love being here. I love enjoying your company. And it's never hard and difficult to be with you. You're not suffering at all from me. You're a huge blessing. Miloš is with me this morning. Miloš, please stand up. Miloš is a worship leader from Serbia. And this is first time in Norfolk for him. You can sit now. First time in Elsham, so please know him, talk with him, show him good time, and I really hope Miloš will come sometime in the future to spend a few weeks with you and just explore how you're working with the church, explore your worship here and things like that. And he's engaged. So, bad luck. Okay. I want to start with... I would like you to consider something before we open subject like this. And probably before any kind of subject in the next couple of weeks you're going to talk, it's good to consider certain things. And the certain things I would like you to consider is that today this is not going to be the only sermon you're going to listen. Okay? This is not the only sermon you're going to listen. And I'm not the only preacher who you're going to listen. And people who stands here and preach every Sunday, they're not the most influential preachers in your life. There is somebody who's preaching to you every single day. Somebody who you listen all the time and who has influence in your life more than anybody else. And you can guess that somebody is you. You are the most influential preacher in your life. The most influential preacher in your life. You're constantly preaching some kind of good news, some kind of gospel to yourself. And that gospel can be a gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, or can be some anti-gospel, something which is not gospel at all. One of unchangeable facts of our life is that we are created in the image of God, and we do not live our lives according to the facts of our experience. We live our lives according to our interpretation of those facts. Okay? We are constantly in the business of interpretations, facts around us. We interpretate our circumstances we are, events that happens around us. We interpretate the relationship we have with other people. And in these interpretations we do about the things around us, we're searching for some kind of meaning. We're searching for a meaning and we want to find, is there any purpose in the things that happens to me? What is the meaning? That's how God built us. In a fine fabric of our being is that we all philosophers. We all theologians. We all have a deep questions that we ask in a daily life, and we're searching for some kind of our answers. We are archaeologists who dig deep in the soil of our existence, hoping to find some meaning. Meaning on a big level, or just the meaning in what's happening to me right now. And that's why if you have two people put in the same circumstances, they will see things differently. They will interpret those situations totally differently. One will be happy, the other will be miserable. One will be bored, the other will be interested in what's happening. If I take my wife to cinema to watch one of the girly films, she will be all emotional and tearful about what she's seeing on the screen. I will just eat popcorns and think how great popcorns are. You know, how beautiful is the balance between the salt and butter, and how can I make something like this at home? We have just a different interest, and we see things differently. It's just like that. Two people in the same situation see things differently. So the question is, if we are constantly do work interpretation, and we are different and see differently different situations, what do you preach to yourself? What do you preach when you hit questions like this? If God is so loving, why so suffering? What do you preach? It's a very important because you are the most important, most influenced person in your own life. And doesn't matter how much I'm going to preach and explain and give all the answers to you, which I can't do it, you will in the end preach to yourself. And you will hear yourself. And you will be the biggest influence to yourself. Thanks God that we learn to talk to ourselves without moving our lips. And we don't make facial expressions. That would be very funny if we go around and talk to ourselves, but we're constantly preaching something to ourselves. Now, I asked myself how to approach these subjects. And I guess you can approach to many different angles, but I want to go to somebody in the Bible and see how that person is doing to itself. That's David, and it's Psalm 42. And in Psalm 42, we have a person who preached to himself in the midst of difficulties. And I want to see what is the process, what things he says to himself, because he found peace on the end with God. What is that he does and preach to himself that bring peace to him on the end? What kind of answer he does? What is the things he does and things he doesn't do in preaching to himself? So we're going to eardrop and listen to him, what he's preaching to himself. And Psalm 42 is going like this. In my Eastern European accent, with not very good English, I will read it. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul searching for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night. While man says to me all day long, where is your God? Those things I remember, I said, pour out my soul. How I used to go with multitude, leading the procession to a house of God, with shouts of joy and thanksgiving among the festive throng. Why are you so downcast, O my soul? Why are you so disturbed with me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God, my soul in downcast within me. Therefore, I will remember you for the land of Jordan, the heights of Hermon from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your wells and breakers have swept over me. By day, the Lord directs his love. And night, his song is with me. I pray to God of my life. I will say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why I must go this morning oppressed by enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes stone me, says to me all day long, where is your God? Why are you so downcast, O my soul? Why are you so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. Amen. We don't know what's happening in his life. We don't know what he's going through, what's confront him. But he met something in his life he didn't plan to do. It just happened to him. If he can choose, he will never choose that. It's one of those things, it just hits him from behind. And we are often in the same situation. Our life doesn't go exactly as we planned. Okay? Last week, it didn't go exactly how I planned. Yesterday, it didn't happen exactly to my plan. And this morning, probably, things didn't work exactly I want to happen. I don't need a mystery books, and I don't need Agatha Christie to have some mysteries in my life. My life is mystery to myself. I'm not the author of my life. And because I'm not the author of my life is often open to all kind of unexpected things. And those things are doing certain things in my life, just as they're doing to these psalmists. First of all, they draw out from me a deep and strong emotions. Just listen to the psalm. Listen to the pain he has. Listen how he describes his soul and what's happening to him. My bones suffer mortal agony. Deep emotions. Sometimes I want to shout. Sometimes I want to cry. Sometimes I'm so confused I scream. Sometimes I'm so angry and sometimes I'm so deeply disappointed with myself, with people, with God. And that's a normal thing to have all this emotion because we are emotional beings. And they need to come out and we're not to be afraid of them or feel condemned because of these emotions. They're deep because what's happening to us in our eyes is very deep and touches in a deep level. Secondly, because of depth of the things that are happening to me, I ask deep theological questions. I am theologian. Not just the people who write big books are theologians. I am on a street level, practical theologian. and I ask questions like, why have you forgotten me? Why I'm so oppressed? Why I go to this suffering? I ask questions and I demand answer for them. Because I need some meaning. That's how I'm created. I need to know why, Lord. And I ask all these questions. And these questions can confuse me. These questions, I think, can release me. These questions do something to my soul. And then third things happen. Because all these questions and all these emotions, and because my life is shaken all the way, I'm very sensitive to all kind of accusations. Just like a psalmist here. Where is your God now? A question that's come from people outside or comes from that little voice in myself which tests everything I believe. Where is your God now, brother? Where is your faith today, sister? How about His grace now after all this? Goodness? You talk about goodness of God? Where is that goodness now, child of God? And at that moment, with all these emotions, the deep theological questions, and all these vulnerabilities of accusation and criticism, I turn to myself, and I preach something to myself. And I can preach the gospel of Christ, or something which looks like a gospel, but it's not gospel at all. And that's what psalmist is doing. If you look at the verse 5, and the last verse, he turns to his soul, and he preaches to his souls. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why are you so disturbed within me, my soul? Put your hope in God, and you will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. And that teaches certain things, which is very important when we face questions like this. It's not just answering the questions. It's how you answer those questions. How you approach these questions is so important. It's so important. This guy knows the secret. And the first thing he says here is you need to confront your own heart. The essential thing is you need to confront your own heart. Because as a culture today, we, amongst all the cultures that ever exist and all the cultures that today exist in the world, our culture, we the least understand that suffering is just an unavoidable part of the life. It's there. Other cultures in the past, they always had suffering and they accepted. It's just part of life. No more than that. So when the modern man suffers, he feels like somebody threatened his rights. He thinks he's ready to argue. He wants to sue somebody. You have films like Guys Who Wants to Sue God. I don't know if you watch. There's two or three of those kind of films. I want to defend myself. I want to sue someone. I want to fight for my rights. How's this happened to me? But the bad things are part of life. It happens to me and I shouldn't be surprised. The other cultures are much more aware and much more wiser about the things like that. Probably because we live in a technological age, we think somebody pressed the wrong button. Somebody didn't read the manual properly. It's somebody's mistake. It shouldn't be like this. Somebody made a mistake. Because of all that, today, modern men, you and me, we are completely unprepared. We are completely vulnerable. We are completely weak. Our heart is afraid what can happen. And again, my soul, my emotions, my heart is like that little thing of the boat, rudder, the thing which controls the boat to go left and right. That thing, it's our heart is like that, our emotions are like that. Our emotions can take us left and right. And we mustn't allow the self-emotions to take us in directions they want to take us. This is what he does here in a psalm. He says, heart, don't take me there. While you're downfall, don't go in that direction. Don't be oppressed. Don't be under the pressure. Don't go there. It's wrong. And that is tough for us today. We live in a culture which says, just follow your heart. Follow your emotions. Well, follow your emotions, and who knows where you'll finish. Bible says, refrain from your anger, return from your wrath, it will lead you to evil. It's not just being followed by emotions when we think about things like this. It's about restraining those emotions, because my heart is not pure yet. In my heart is a war, and it's unclean. and it has potential to take me in this horribly wrong directions, to trick me. And it has potential in itself to ask all kind of questions on which I don't have answers. So the first thing Psalmist says here is take control of your heart. Do not allow your emotions to take you everywhere. You take control of them. Because in the moments of suffering, we don't just suffer the thing that is impact us. We suffer the whole process of suffering. We are excellent in making trouble to ourselves, to twist things so much, to ask the questions, to go too far away, to go with possibilities and everything else, that we suffer even more because of process of suffering. We need to be aware of some things, know them very deep, very hard, have some good foundations in our heart, and not go in some direction. The second thing, what he amazingly says to himself here, is in any moment of life, you have hope. You have hope. The psalmist says, hope in the Lord, trust in the Lord. You have, at this moment, every reason to hope. No matter what confronts you, no matter what troubles you, no matter how hard for you is emotionally, no matter how much you don't understand, there is no situation, circumstances that can compromise the right hope. Because the real hope is not based on circumstances. It's not location. Doesn't depend on material stuff. The real hope you will never find horizontal. The real hope is always person. The hope always have two elements. One element is object of hope and expectations of hope. The things that will bring me the thing I want. And if we put our hope in something wrong, it will make some wrong expectations. And those expectations is always connected to some kind of significance and purpose. Some inter-harmony and sense of fulfillment. Something which says, I'm looking forward to wake up tomorrow. That's my hope. He wants to take me there. So where do you look for the hope? Where is the source of the hope? Hope is not thing. It's not location. It's not smile of that guy in the eyes of that girl. It's not bank account. It's not having the answers on all the questions. It's one personal Jehovah. You will never find horizontal. It's always up there. I think if I have all the answers on my questions, I'll find peace and harmony. The point is, as Jack Nicholson said, you can't handle the truth. The point is, I don't understand things very well. A few good men. When my children were little, okay, they suffer a lot from me. Let me explain that. They always suffer. If you say no to them, oh, they suffer and everything else. You can't have a chocolate now. There is a suffering and they want some things and you don't give to them. Oh, it's the suffering and everything else. And the solution is to go on your knees with the children and look at them and says, do you love your dad? Yes. Do you know your dad? Yes. Is your dad good dad? Yes. Is your dad monster? No. Is dad give you everything you want? Yes. Is dad always provide things for you? Yes. Is dad cares of you? Yes. You know your dad is not bad dad. Yes. Now, when you know all that, then please, can you take what daddy says and know that what he has for you is the best for you and go? It's that deep knowledge who he is that you will find all the answers you need to find. It's not about, I can try to explain them. If they eat chocolate before the dinner, blah, blah, they will never understand. They will never understand. I can explain them, they can't understand. There are some things I can even not explain them. They can be frustrated about situation, but the point is, you know me. You know who am I in your life. You know how much I care about you and how much I love you. And today, for all of us, God's kneeling on his knees. In his glorious gaze, he looks us in the eyes. He's on our level, on his knees, and says, your dad loves you. Put your trust in me. Put your hope in me. I know you don't understand, but even if I explain you, you will not understand. You are a child. But can you trust the one who knows everything, who understands everything, who cares for you so much? Can you trust him? That through this, which looks like a suffering to you, I will bring some greater good. And that's my meditation. We see, if I meditate on the mystery of my circumstances, I'm in deep trouble. I don't do just if A leads to B, then the C will happen. When I think about the mysteries of problems I have, I think A leads to B, I'll go to the triple Z straight away, to the worst possible scenario. But if I focus myself not on the circumstances, but on the hope that I have in Him, it's different. He becomes the strong rock security I have in my life. I realize that my life is under invasion of glory of God, and that I now belongs to Him. That He is the ultimate definition of everything what is wise, everything that is faithful, that is supreme and final definition of good and love. That He is a wonderful giver of grace all the time. That my hope is in His presence in my life. That He's not just Emmanuel because He invaded this life, this world. He's Emmanuel because He's invaded my life. And I met Him as Emmanuel. It's impossible for me to ever be alone. It's impossible for me ever be without resources. To be left without wisdom. To be left without strength. Because God is present in my life and that is my hope. In the midst of trouble, David doesn't go, I need to find the answers, I need to find the answers. He says, I have a hope in my God. And that's where everything starts and everything finishes. And then he does something even more amazing. Even more amazing. In the midst of all these troubles, he says, no matter how big is your horizontal trouble, there is even greater trouble from which you needed to be rescued. He says, my salvation and my God. He called Him my God and my Savior. When I'm in difficult situations, the last thing I want is to think about my salvation. I just want to be uprooted from the problem and put somewhere else. I just want to change location. I just want things to stop. But in the midst of that, He says, no matter how big is your trouble, you are rescued from even bigger trouble. You are rescued from something even more bigger. This is not the biggest dilemma you're right now. Because the biggest dilemma you are is that you are a sinner and you cannot save yourself. Without mercy, we say, we face the eternal damnation. Without mercy that can change me, I am the most devastated force in my life. Praise God for His grace that changed me. Teach me what is the wisdom. Give me the willpower to choose the right stuff. Without grace, I am just devastating force in my life. I will make the wrong choices all the time. I will destroy myself and people around me. But His grace is amazing. He met me on the bottom of my darkness. He lived for me life that I could never live. He died the death I'm supposed to die. He suffered rejection so I can be welcome in God's presence. He filled me with His powerful spirit. He opened my eyes for the mystery of the world. And He promised me His presence all the time. I wish I don't have these moments. I wish I don't have them. I wish my heart, life is not hard. But I have reason to celebrate Him because the biggest catastrophe of my life is sorted out. But I still have problems. And I still didn't give you any answers. Well, let me tell you how God spoke to me about those things. About those days when I feel like, when I wake up, and when I say to God, you better hit me again, I'm still breathing. I remember a day in my life when I loved my family more than any other day in my life. I don't know if you have that feeling, and if you can remember a day when you love your family so much. That day I was the best husband. I was the coolest dad ever. I loved them so much. My heart was full with joy. I was ready to do everything for them, and I enjoy with them so much. I was full with joy. I remember that day. I really I can't remember how many years ago, but I remember the feeling of love for my family. It was so huge that it was hard to even describe. But that day followed the night of terror in my life. The night of terror in my life. The worst night and the worst nightmare I ever had. In that nightmare, I dreamt that I lost my family. I don't know if you ever had a dream like that. It's horrible. For me, it was such a vivid dream. I can't remember did I lost them in a car accident or something, but the main point was I lost my wife and I lost my children. And the pain was so deep. And the dream went for a few days. And I felt, what does it mean to live without them? To not have their smile? To not have my wife next to me? It was horrible. It was physical pain. I felt things in my throat. I wanted to cry. I actually cried in a dream. It was horrible. Horrible. But then I remember that beautiful moment. When one moment I opened my eyes. And it took me 5-10 seconds to realize it's a dream. It's a dream. It's a dream. My wife is next to me. Everything. I know I went so close to Sonia. I give her a hug. And she said, don't wake me up. I said, okay, don't worry about it. I was so happy. I stood up. Even in that moment, I love her so much. And it somehow just happened that the trouble I went through reinforced the joy and love in my life. I will never have that kind of joy for my family if I didn't went through that temporary trouble and suffering. And that is what trouble is. One day, every tear is going to be wiped away. I don't understand stuff. I feel like a people in front of the cross, thinking all our dreams fell down, all our hopes disappear. He was a great guy, 33 years old, great preacher. He gave us a great promises, great future in front of him, and now he's dead. What good can God do from this? That's how they interpreted the facts in front of them. But the facts were different. What they faced that day was the biggest miracle of redemption in the history of the world. The biggest wisdom, the biggest power of God had for a humankind, and they didn't see. Do you see how big children we are? We see things happening in us, we're trying to understand with our little brains, and we think we figure out everything. We didn't figure out anything. But tell you what, if you go in the Bible, it says that every tear will be wiped away. That my hope is in that person, not in all the answers I need. And that he's not going to create some planet Zork and we're all going to be moved there and everything's going to be unfamiliar. He says he will restore our lives. He will restore our dreams. He will restore heaven and earth. And what we lost, he will give them back in some way, but we'll never felt we lost it. And we will have the beautiful feeling, if I haven't went through this suffering, what I have now will not have a power of joy and fulfillment as we have now. And that's where I find all my hope and strength in a time of troubles. And that's what I try to preach to myself. That's what I preach to myself. This week, you are going to give yourself to some kind of gospel. This week, you will look for some reason to live. You will meet big and small moments you didn't expect. In this moment, you will preach some kind of gospel to yourself. Hope is vertical. Hope is in God, not in a lot of answers. He will restore everything back. This life for us is going to be, for many of us, like a bad dream that's finished. And we will open our eyes. We will not feel we lost anything. Every single tear will be wiped away. And maybe you're not the most successful preachers of grace in your life. Now is the time to start preaching grace to yourself. Don't sit sad. Don't be in shame. Don't bury your head in condemnation because you doubt so much and you had all kinds of questions. Don't have guilt feelings. Grace made possible to you to come into God and says, Lord, be my Father. Come and talk to me. Come on my level. Come on His, Lord. And tell me how much you love me. How much you're powerful. How much you're present in my life. how much with you. If I just know you, how wonderful you are, all my fears will disappear. All my confusion will disappear. And I can tell you, Lord, I don't understand everything, but I'm so happy I can believe in somebody who understands everything. Lord, I walk to the valley of the shadow of the dead, and I see just the trees around and the rocks and a little bit of path in front of me. But Lord, you have a bird-eye perspective on my life. You see everything. You know everything. You direct me and you lead me and you know where I'm going. And if I need to trust somebody, I'll trust more you than myself, who is just a portion of life. Shall we pray? Marshall, shall I give this to you now? May God touch your hearts this morning. If you have any kind of difficult questions about circumstances you are in, hope is vertical. Let's focus on Him. Let His grace and His Spirit work in our hearts and bring some kind of satisfaction that we belongs to Him and He takes care of our lives.